this is an indication that tension is increasing and that the relationship is becoming more fraught.
Taiwan pushes back against Chinese air aggression. It's Wednesday, April 3rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, North Korea seeks answers from Spain. The Donald Trump Opera comes to Hong Kong. Cherry blossoms bloom for business. U.S. seniors fight pain with pot and the world's largest salt cave. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Taiwan says its planes warned off Chinese military aircraft that crossed the center line in the Taiwan Strait this past weekend and called China's move a provocation that seeks to alter the status quo in the waterway, dividing the island from mainland China. Taiwan's defense ministry said a pair of Chinese J-11 jet fighters crossed the line at around 11 a.m. Sunday and entered the island's southwestern airspace. It said Taiwan scrambled jets to warn off the Chinese planes, which came within about 185 kilometers of Taiwan. Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen said in remarks at a military awards ceremony, "Chinese military aircraft provoked us by violating the tacit agreement by crossing the median line of the Taiwan Strait." Robert Ross is a professor of political science at Boston College and an expert on issues involving China and Taiwan. VOA Asia's Ira Melman asked him if this latest incursion by Chinese warplanes could lead to some sort of military fighting between the two nations.
Well, I don't think anyone on Taiwan will initiate hostilities. That would be a rash move that could elicit Chinese retaliation that would be far more costly to Taiwan than it would ever be to the mainland. However, this is an indication that tension is increasing and that the relationship is becoming more fraught, and so this is something we should all be paying attention to.
But how close can it come to either side taking any kind of military action against the other?
Well, we've all assumed over the years that a cause of war would be a Taiwan Declaration of Independence. That would be Taiwan seceding from the mainland and establishing an independent sovereign entity. Taiwan's understood for well over a decade now that, one, that would be an act of war, and two, mainland use of force would devastate Taiwan, destroy its economy, destroy its political system. And there's nothing the United States can do to defend Taiwan from the cost of war. So even the current president of Taiwan, who is more independence-leaning, if you will, than her predecessor, never mentions the word independence. And it's not on anyone's campaign platform going into elections for the last 10 years now.
A state-run Chinese newspaper on Monday reported that the flights by the Chinese fighter jets through the Taiwan Strait over the weekend were a message meant for the United States. What was meant by that?
Well, first, that's a explicit statement that this is new, and this was meant to raise attention and attract people's attention. China hasn't done this well over 10 years, and they understand the significance of the median line. And there is an acknowledgement right there that, yes, we did cross that line because we want to get people's attention. And the statement that we're targeting this on the United States is very clear. And the context is one in which the United States has been using Taiwan as an instrument to put pressure on the mainland. So we've been sending military ships to the Taiwan Strait at a frequency not seen in decades. There's no necessity to do this. Tension's not increasing between Taiwan and the mainland. No one's worried about war. This is a way the United States can establish to the region and establish to China that you may not like this, but we have the resolve to stand up to you as China's rising. The United States is also signaling that it's prepared to sell Taiwan advanced aircraft that may not have military significance, but strong political significance. Again, the implication seems to be that we want to cause trouble for the mainland as the mainland is rising and becoming more assertive. The concern the mainland has is U.S. actions are happening just as Taiwan's going through an election year where candidates have to be more nationalistic, less moderate. And indeed, the current president of Taiwan, she is adopting positions that seem to be more strident in opposition to the mainland, perhaps pushing the envelope. So that the mainland's concerned that should American actions continue this way, it could encourage her to take more, even more provocative actions that could force the mainland's hand. So this is the way the mainland is saying to all parties, not just the United States, but to Taiwan, act with caution, understand Taiwan is a vital national interest of China, and irresponsible behavior could lead to consequences that no one would like to see.
What do you see as changes in the policy of the United States toward Taiwan and its relationship with Beijing?
Well, the transits of U.S. military vessels through the Taiwan Strait is coming at a frequency we haven't seen in decades. And so that is a political move that not only suggests American resolve, but it's a political move that suggests support for Taiwan. And arms sales to Taiwan are a political move suggesting support.
How far can it go before the envelope that's being pushed burst wide open?
Well, I guess the most unpredictable element of this is the United States. President Trump is highly unpredictable. No one knows what his next steps will be. He certainly reversed his position over time on many issues. And over time, he's shown often minimal restraint in his provocations toward others. So we don't know how far he would go in expressing support for Taiwan. And insofar as the mainland has said that American policy is what they're watching, and the mainland's concerned about the impact of U.S. policy on Taiwan politicians, U.S. policy will be significant in shaping the level of tension across the strait. This triangular relationship going on here, it suggests that 2019 is a difficult year. Elections on Taiwan, American president who may be pushing the envelope, and leadership issues on the mainland. So this all bears careful watching and caution in all three capitals. I'm not particularly worried about war, but that's easy for me to say. We need to be cautious and watch the situation very carefully.
Robert Ross, a professor of political science at Boston College, speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. President Moon stays positive on denuclearization talks following North Korean embassy raid. New Zealand's new gun control law passes first parliamentary test. World trade forecasts slashed again amid U.S.-China standoff. Detailed and public, Kim Jong-nam murder may never be solved. Donald Trump and Mao Zedong headline new Hong Kong opera. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also stop by our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. North Korea has called a daylight raid on its Madrid embassy in February a grave terrorist attack and called for a full investigation into the incident that took place the week preceding the second summit between its leader Kim Jong-un and U.S. President Donald Trump. The North's comments about the raid on its Spanish diplomatic mission came more than a month after the February 22nd incident, as details from the official investigation began emerging. Daniel Pinkston, a lecturer of international relations at Troy University in Seoul, says one possible reason for Pyongyang's late response was that North Korea was conducting its own investigation into the matter and trying to determine what happened.
The decision-making process takes some time in North Korea, has to rise up to the senior levels in a case like this.
The Spanish government has identified 10 people who allegedly raided the embassy, linking them to a dissident organization that characterizes itself as a government in exile and dedicated to liberating North Korea. Whatever the reason for the delayed public acknowledgement of the embassy incursion, Pinkston said the actions of the group do not help denuclearization talks between North Korea and the United States. When speaking to members of his cabinet Monday, South Korean President Moon Jae-in remained optimistic and took issue with those seeking to derail the process. Next week, Moon will meet President Trump in Washington. Daniel Pinkston currently sees divergent interests between Washington and Pyongyang and says it will be difficult moving forward.
At the end of the process, for it to be acceptable to the United States and its allies, it would require a verified abandonment of North Korea's nuclear weapons and nuclear capability. And that would require a change in the worldview of the North Korean leadership. So it'd be a very complicated and long process, but I don't see any sign that North Korea is prepared to do that, certainly under the present conditions.
Jung Dae-jin, a research professor with the Eju Institute of Unification, said North Korea may be going through a cooling-off period following the Hanoi summit and may be ready to resume talks following the anniversary of the first inter-Korean summit on April 27th. Our thanks to Lee Jae-hyun for contributing this story. Happening now in Asia, the Spanish government has identified 10 people who allegedly raided North Korea's embassy in Madrid. North Korea wants a full investigation into what it calls a grave terrorist attack that took place the week preceding the second summit between Kim Jong-un and U.S. President Donald Trump. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Cantonese opera is an art form best known for elaborate makeup, costumes, and tales of long-dead heroes. But for 4 days this April, a Hong Kong theater will take on a larger-than-life character from the modern day, U.S. President Donald Trump. Hong Kong's Sunbeam Theater will stage a performance of Trump on Show, a 3.5-hour comedic reimagining of the U.S. president's life and that of his fictional twin brother who lives in China. The opera was written and directed and produced by Edward Lee Kui Ming, a feng shui master and film producer turned prolific playwright. The upcoming production is a follow-up to Lee's successful and controversial Chairman Mao opera staged in 2016, which recounted three fictional romances of China's most famous leader, Mao Zedong.
After the success of Chairman Mao, and it seems to me that in recent years, everybody in the whole world are indulged in the name of Donald Trump. Every day we are talking about Trump, Trump, Trump.
Lee said his operas were not meant to be political commentary, rather works of dark comedy, as both Chairman Mao and Trump on Show touch on some of the most controversial topics in Chinese 20th century history, including the Cultural Revolution and Mao's tenure as leader of China. Many of the characters from Chairman Mao will reappear in the Trump opera. Lee plans to complete the trilogy next year with a production about the Gang of Four, a powerful faction led by Madame Mao that dominated Chinese politics during the 1960s and 1970s. Such a lighthearted and humorous look at Chinese history is almost unthinkable in mainland China today, which resumed sovereignty of the former British colony in 1997. Hong Kong has more freedoms than China, that is, until the year 2047, under the One Country, Two Systems model, although many residents and political leaders fear where the city will head when that period expires. For as much as it may poke fun at contemporary geopolitics, Trump on Show, however, has another agenda, according to Lee. The opera will contain many lessons for the controversial U.S. president and includes a cathartic scene in which North Korean leader Kim Jong-un makes Trump a cheeseburger in the White House kitchen.
And so in this opera, we try to make everybody understand unity is the best way, love is the best way to handle all the problems.
He hopes as well that he can one day stage the performance for the U.S. president in Washington. Trump on Show runs from April 12th through the 15th at the Sunbeam Theater in Hong Kong. Our thanks to Aaron Hale for contributing this story. Coming up, flowering prophets bloom in China. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Special English. A way to learn American English and much more. Broadcasting a half hour of world news and features every day on radio. You can also find Special English on television and online at voaspecialenglish.com. For 50 years, helping people understand world events and the language and culture of America.
This news from VOA Asia. Singapore submitted wide-ranging fake news legislation in Parliament Monday, stoking fears from internet firms and human rights groups that it may give the government too much power and hinder freedom of speech. The law would require social media sites like Facebook to carry warnings on some posts. Visit Warning Free at VOA Asia Facebook each day. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, fleeting flowers bring quick profits, while the battle for 5G markets becomes difficult for one company, as we hear in today's edition of VOA Asia Business Scene with Skylar Ogden.
Cherry blossom season is in full swing in China, giving a boost to the business of planting cherry trees. Ice cream sellers, photographers, and cosmetic traders are also reaping the rewards. According to data from the China Cherry Blossom Industry Association, about 400,000 farmers are working in the cherry blossom industry in China, a local villager who works in the Qianxi Cherry Blossom Park.
In the past, our average annual income was about $1,030 to $1,177. Now, our income is about $7,360 if the land rental income is included. Our current income is more than 8 times higher than 2008.
This year, ticket sales to Guangzhou's largest cherry blossom festival increased by 10%, with the seedling sales doubled. Related services are also doing well. Photographer Mao Chunxi says he has been running a full schedule since the festival started in mid-March. Cherry blossom-shaped ice creams are a big seller, and a biotech company called Xi Biotech is creating beauty products with blossom extracts. Guangzhou He is a researcher at Xi Biotech.
Cherry blossom is a very unique species, especially when it comes to skincare products. Its pink color is very popular with consumers.
Cherry blossom trees can also be seen in Asia, in Japan, Australia, Taiwan, and Korea. The soft, fragrant petals will only be around until mid-April. Tensions rise in bilateral ties between Japan and China as the former curbs government purchases of Huawei Technologies. Huawei Technologies is one of the biggest global makers of network equipment for phone and internet companies and has been at the center of the U.S.-Chinese tensions over cyber spying. While ties between China and Japan have improved in the past year, this latest decision by the Japanese government could damage that partnership. Gao Feng is a spokesman for the Chinese Commerce Ministry.
We do not hope to see rising protectionism in countries like Japan that are supporters of free trade. If Japan's actions are unfair, that would shake mutual trust in both countries, as well as the confidence of companies to cooperate, hurting bilateral relations.
Japan first introduced a de facto ban on government purchases from Huawei and ZTE last year, and has now extended it to 5G licensing rules for private companies. 5G is the next generation of mobile telecommunications and will be up to 100 times faster than the current 4G platforms. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Skylar Ogden.
This news from VOA Asia. New Zealand lawmakers have taken the first step in approving a new gun restrictions following the recent deadly mass shootings at two mosques. The bill passed overwhelmingly with a 119-1 vote, with one dissenting vote on its first reading. It will face two more parliamentary votes before it becomes law. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, once stigmatized and banned across the United States, marijuana is now legalized in many parts of the country, primarily for medicinal use, but increasingly also for recreation. As cannabis becomes mainstream, Americans in their 70s and 80s, who used to get high on marijuana in their youth, are now using cannabis-infused products to relieve old age aches and pains. VOA's Slotika Hoke has this report.
A group of senior citizens from Laguna Woods Village, an upscale retirement community in Southern California, make a monthly bus trip to a cannabis dispensary in Santa Ana, where they enjoy lunch, play bingo, and get a supply of marijuana.
I run. I like to run around, and started having issues with my knees, and somebody suggested, well, why don't you try smoking pot? It will help with your joint issues.
People ages 65 and older are the fastest growing group interested in using marijuana. Some of them smoked pot in their youth.
I used to do it when I was like 18, 19, 20, and had a baby, got married, and stopped doing it. I missed it at times, but after a while, you just kind of grow out of it, and then you kind of get to a certain age, and you're relaxed, and you have time, and everybody up was doing it again.
The Bud and Bloom Cannabis Dispensary in Santa Ana provides free bus service for the seniors, as well as instruction on safe use of the weed.
We have to be very cognizant of the fact that it can interact with certain other medications. And so if an elderly person, or really anybody, is on multiple pharmaceuticals, blood thinners, seizure medications, and the list goes on, they really should have a physician looking at potential drug interactions so that person does not end up in an emergency room with an issue.
Experts say more research is needed on marijuana in general, but most agree that appropriate use can alleviate some of the problems associated with old age, such as sleeplessness, tension, arthritis, back pain, stiff muscles, and moodiness. With marijuana entering mainstream America, there is a growing industry of cannabis-linked products, such as pipes, ashtrays, vaping pens, cannabis oil, candy, and others.
It just shows that weed has permeated the full spectrum of society. You know, like in 3 years, it's gone from, I mean, you know, even 2 years ago, you'd go to dispensaries here in California, and you'd feel like you were visiting a parole officer.
Marijuana is still banned by federal law, but California and about 10 other U.S. states have legalized the drug for recreational as well as medicinal use. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
Israeli researchers say a massive cavern on the shores of the Dead Sea is the world's largest salt cave. VOA's Kevin Enix reports on the discovery of this relatively young, beautiful inner sanctum.
Mount Sodom, on the southern edges of the Dead Sea in Israel, is already a wonder. It is unique in that, except for some dust and dirt, it is entirely made of salt. The mountain is 8 kilometers long, 5 kilometers wide, and 226 meters above the Dead Sea water level. But it is what is underneath Mount Sodom that is really incredible. Malham Cave, a salt cavern that is constantly changing as water erodes its insides into salt pillars and delicate columns, and now it has bragging rights as the world's largest salt cave, thanks to a newly finished survey by the Hebrew University of Jerusalem.
And now after we finish, we realize it's not just the longer again, it's the only salt cave in the world that longer than 10 kilometers. It's unbelievable. It's like to change the magnitude from several kilometers to more than 10. So now we can say that we are inside the longest salt cave in the world.
There are still parts of Malham that have never been seen by humans, but some of the areas they have found are breathtaking, according to spelunkers who helped survey the cave.
We are now in the wedding hall, and we gave this hall its name because when we crawled in a cave and got to this chamber, this hall, all the stalagmites and stalactites, their beauty, their color, they're really white, they're shiny, they're amazing.
Salt caves and salt mountains are unusual because they do not last long due to salt dissolving so easily and quickly in water. But in this arid region near the Dead Sea, Malham Cave is endured as one of the youngest salt caves in the world. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on the radio throughout Asia on great radio stations like Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Thanks to everyone there who's listened to our program today. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Cedric Franklin. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a nice day.